it's a very sad day, and it's been a very sad couple of days in Australia. A lot of shock, a lot of sorrow across the country following the siege in Sydney that ended in the death of two hostages, Tory Johnson and Katrina Dawson. As we know, the 50-year-old gunman was also killed in the process. A lot of events unfolded on our national television screens or on radio. They were closely watched by us, I think, as we wondered who was behind it and what their motivation was. Of course, our concern for innocent people being held hostage, but there are a lot of questions about that reaction that we had. Why is it that we react differently because an event like this is politically motivated? What is it that makes that different to something else? Or is it not actually different? Well, Dr. Simon Longstaff has a view on these things. He's the Executive Director of the St. James Ethics Centre. He's very good at asking questions as well, and that's probably what he'll do for us tonight. Thanks for coming in, Simon.
Hi, Waleed. How are you?
I'm very well. Do you really think that we reacted differently purely because this was politically motivated?
I think it certainly had an impact on us. If this had been a siege being committed by criminals holding up a bank where they'd deliberately taken hostages in order to cover their escape or something like that, I think it still would have prompted a strong reaction. But I think something about the deliberate intention to put people in harm's way for political purposes in order to make a point, which could have been made by other means, did have an effect on how people responded.
I hear you. I suppose it's a counterfactual. It's hard to determine. I kind of felt that the thing, if we imagine this was not political, but it was still a siege at Martin Place at that cafe, it was still being caught on film because it was opposite a television network, all of that sort of thing. I just got a feeling it would have been just as big because of the randomness element of it.
Well, I think I think that is the difference, though. I mean, if it had been something which was purely a criminal going into a bank and taking hostages and things like that, then their intention would have been to rob the bank, and that would have qualified our view about it. You still would have had people in harm's way. There still would have been all of the basic elements to a siege in that situation. But in this case, because it was for a political purpose and because anyone, in a sense, would have done the job from the perpetrator's point of view, I think it gave rise to a visceral reaction from people who could so easily see that there was no apparent sense to it except for the political motivation.
So if we took the political motivation away, that consider that sort of counterfactual, but we leave it in the cafe, because I actually think the cafe was part of that story. It's the fact that we've all been there or walked past it.
Yeah, but we've all been into banks, and or maybe not so much these days. I think there are lots of things where crimes are committed where it's part of our day-to-day life, which is suddenly disturbed. No, I think this, as you say, you can take the counterfactual away, but it was something very particular that was taking place here. And so the question for us then is to ask, and I can only speculate about it, what is it about that particular kind of political action that took us to a point well beyond where we would have been if this had been just some other kind of criminal conduct being perpetrated in a place familiar to us all.
So what's your answer then? I know you can only speculate, and I don't want to ask you to speculate, but could you speculate for us?
What do you mean you don't want to ask me to speculate? You just... I think, first of all, the community had been primed for something like this in a sense. I mean, the raising of the level of alert and the political discussion about security laws and the balance between public safety and personal liberty and all of those things meant that people were sensitized. And there's this kind of narrative that goes on, yes, we should be prepared, but there's quite a lot of people saying, oh, we hope that it won't happen here. Mm. And I think there was an element of perhaps an innocent belief about what would take place in the context of Australian society, which was damaged, if not shattered, by the activities of an individual acting alone. And I think the second thing that I heard that was persuasive about this point earlier this morning by, I think, one of the commentators from Monash University was that the very kind of appeal that ISIL and others make to people is not to plan, not to form networks, but instead just to pick up whatever you have at hand, whether it's a knife, a gun or any other device, and take anybody, not because they have done anything wrong, but purely because it will create an effect. Yeah. And I think that kind of politics by any means offends the basic sense that we have about what would be an appropriate way to respond. And so the effect of that, I think, was more chilling than just the, you know, the bare facts of the atrocity being committed at the same time.
What about repeatability? I've got a text message here from Adam. He says, terrorism is more scary than other forms of criminality because it implies a wider war and therefore more terrorist incidents. And I know that in academic literature, there are some people who say that part of the definition of terrorism, and they're a minority, but that part of the definition of terrorism is the threat that it will happen again.
I think that, look, I think that, if you lived in Sydney, there's now a distressing frequency where there are gun attacks that take place in various parts of the city. So these sorts of acts of violence can have an index of frequency that waxes and wanes. So I'm not sure that's the main point. I think that the more significant and deeper issue is that I believe that what terrorists of this particular ilk are trying to do, even if it's not consciously conceived in these terms, is to prompt the reaction which would see us destroy part of our own society for fear of what might happen next. Mm. So the idea of a random attack, that it could be anybody, is used in particular to say, well, we need to harden ourselves to such a degree that we foster divisions within our community that splits us apart, that we surrender hard-fought for liberties which have been achieved with much sacrifice over centuries, that we give away all of the things that make us who we are, not unique, but just who we are for this point in time, for fear of what might happen, to try and deal with the uncertainty, as if those giving away of things will make us safer. And so, of course, the more uncertainty, the more randomness, the better the effect that somebody has when doing these sorts of things.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, all of these are characteristics that are identifiable. As you say them, you recognise them. I suppose it's difficult, though, for us to try to imagine what happens in other scenarios that are the same but kind of tweaked until we face them. And I hope we never have to do that. But it's very thought-provoking contribution that you made, Simon. We're sadly out of time, so I better let it rest there. But thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, well, I hope you have a great break.
Thank you very much. Dr. Simon Longstaff, Executive Director at the St. James Ethics Centre, our correspondent for the Religion and Ethics segment this week. Scott Stevens is on holiday, and I hope he's enjoying himself at a beach somewhere, probably not listening to me, which is, God, I wouldn't be if I was on a beach. It's news time very, very soon. In the second hour of the program, the best of RN Drive from 2014. We'll see what the producers have assembled. Oh, God knows. I hope it's not embarrassing. I hope I'm proud of it. Anyway, we'll see what happens. I'll be back in 5 minutes. See you then.